You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 13. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer, word of prayer. And our God and Father, take your word. Spirit of God, honor your word and help us in understanding that we might be able to proceed that much better, looking to you, counting on your wonderful person and presence to help us on our journey. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. As we looked at Matthew in 11 to 12 and chapters 11 and 12, etc. And Israel is, as a people, as a nation, are not receiving Christ. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, but they aren't really interested in it. They aren't interested in the king. They aren't interested in the kingdom. They aren't. And therefore, the disciples that have been with him all this time, up to now, they have recognized him as the Messiah, the king, at least that much. And in the process, they don't understand. And the parables that he uses to speak as we shared all these things, he's trying to help them understand the condition, because the people, he came unto his own received him not. John 1:11. And the world doesn't want to know him. They don't want to know him. We mentioned God's wonderful presence. And so what? That's where we are. That's reality. And you have to go with that, because that's where it really is. And that's where everything is. So now God's helping them understand in these parables, in these illustrations, of how it's going to go until he comes at the end of the tribulation. So he's going to help them understand. And thus the parable of the sower, and the word of God is the seed. The seed is the word of God. The sower is God himself, takes his word and brings it forth so that we can hear it, understand it, and believe it. And therefore, it comes in the parables there. We did it, verse 19. It's there for everybody, but you could put all the Bibles out you want in Russia or China or whatever, and what they do with them and how they do with them, God knows. But it doesn't go anywhere. And so we come to the verse 20 and the verse 21, and the word of God again is given. And there's the crowd, the stony places, the rocky places, and they hear and say, isn't that wonderful, a heaven and a savior and all that, to whatever extent. But it can't go anywhere, because the rocky ledge, the ground, doesn't support the seed, doesn't support the word. So you have John 3:16, but John 3:16, God so loved the world. But God so loved the world, I can quote it and say it, but it isn't going to go anywhere, because I'm not going to do anything with it. It's just there. I want to believe it and do it, but it just doesn't produce like it needs to. And it needs to do that. And the third thing we looked at was this verse 22. And the seed, the sower, the word of God, as it's among the thorns, and he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So that's another. So the seed gets there. But the trouble is, the ground isn't cultivated, the ground isn't tilled, and the ground is full of weeds and thorns and thistles and everything, and it gets all caught. And the other day when we did that with the thistles, when we had them up here, and actually I should have finished the illustration since it started. And the minute I get near the thistles, it would be sticking all over to me. And if I moved the thistles, they'd be all over. I couldn't get away. Because every time I touch them, I get caught up, I get bloody, and then I get more and more. It doesn't break away. It stays stuck to me. Thistles. Now that's me using just the thistles. So the ground, the seed, the Word of God gets in the ground, gets in the heart, but the heart is full of thorns and thistles and weeds and sin and self and pride and all of these things. And it sticks, so it chokes, it suffocates. So the plant can't function. The seed can't grow like it needs to be fruitful. It just doesn't happen because the thorns are there and all of it. And we share together the cares. And the cares, remember, are that we're surrounded by cares, two parts. We're surrounded by them. And our daily life is surrounded by cares. We're caring about everything, caring about, because we have to, we care about our teeth, we care about everything we have to do. Our whole life is full of being and servicing our bodies and our system that we live in. And they're all cares, and they occupy us. It doesn't mean they're bad cares necessarily, but they're cares. And they occupy, they distract us, and they get our mind divided in many directions. So that for us to get locked on to what is essential is very hard to do because the demands of the world around us are so, the demands are so powerful, so needing to be addressed that we can't grow, we can't do it. It makes it very hard. Now, not only the cares, what do the cares do? They limit, because we have to handle, and the same breath, thorns and thistles are like cares, and the second part of it is the deceitfulness of riches. And the deceitfulness of riches comes in, and we're trying to, and being in the world, we're trying to possess. We have to possess. We have to. You have to eat, you have to have clothing on your back, you have to have a roof over your head, you have to have all of these, and depending on the society, the jungle is one thing, the industrial society like we are is another. Two different kinds of worlds, but they're there in all of their wonderment. And we're caught up in that. So what we want to try to get and have and try to have. Well, the cares are there on the one hand, and on the other hand, we're trying to go and possess our possessions, but possess whatever we're after, because that's what we're doing. The deceitfulness of riches. So therefore, and the deceitfulness of riches, so that's what we want to look at, we're trying to have. Now God's helping us because the seed on the blacktop, verse 19, that's not good, and the seed on the rocky, ledgy soil, that isn't good, and the believing heart that's trying to gets the seed and says good, but then the cares come in, and it never gets very fruitful, which is what your whole plant is. If you had a garden. And you had that, and depending on that garden, and all it does is you plant everything that you think you need, and all the little green shoots come up, and they're wonderful little shoots. But if there's no beets and no carrots and no potatoes, what good is it? What good is that? What good's your garden if it doesn't produce anything that you can fruit? If there's no fruit, how would Lyman's orchard be if with no fruit? No fruit. Trees, spraying, doing everything, but no fruit. You got to have fruit. That's how we live. So we're after this fruit, and we're after it. But the deceitfulness of riches, don't let the fruit flourish. We get the green, we got the all of that, but we aren't enjoying the fruit. So in doing that, now to address that, so that I can try to understand it and maybe help you. You keep in mind, if you would, without turning there, if you would, in Genesis in chapter 2, and in verse 16, what do you know? Adam and Eve were given the privilege of eating what? Every tree in the garden. Every tree. How many trees? We don't know. 100 trees, 1,000 trees, unknown. They could have anything, and it says they could eat freely. They could pick from a basket of this and a basket of that, whatever they're doing, freely, except one tree. Now God could have said, you can have this. He didn't. He said, this is it. I've created it. Genesis 1:30, that. Everything I've created is very good. Very good. I did it. I did all of it. Sun, moon, stars, for good. I want you to enjoy. Enjoy, underline. That's what he wants. Rest. We did that in Sunday school, Hebrews. Rest. I want you to be able to enjoy something. That's what I'm looking for. Now, so having said that, and when you go to Genesis chapter 9 and verse 3, after the Genesis flood, God adds, you may freely eat meat of any living thing. So the trees are all, everything, so you added. That's right. Now you can eat meat of every living thing. It can do it. So that's a wonderful thing. So we're made of the dust of the ground. We feed off the sun, the dirt, we're dirt, dust, and we feed just like the plants. The plants feed us. We're from it. So it all relates together wonderfully. And God has done that so we could have all of that in a most, most wonderful way and a most enjoyable way. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, the rest. So now, that's what God wants us to enjoy. Underline. God wants you to enjoy life on planet Earth. He wants you to enjoy your pizza and everything else. You got that part. So lock that in. Now God, how we got thorns and thistles, how are we going to handle this? So, over if you would please, firstly, over to 1 John. And in 1 John and chapter 2. And you will note, in 1 John chapter 2, and may I pick up that to remind us, verse 15, chapter 2, the Spirit of God tells us, love not the world's system. The world's system, that's what everything is, it all belongs to the system. Buying and selling and planting and growing, it all is part of a world system. Love not the world system, don't love it, neither the things that are in the world, all the different things. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we don't want to love the world, the things that are in the world, but we don't want to love the world because then we fail to enjoy the love of God the Father. Reason 4, verse 16, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now remember that if you went back to Genesis 3, that's what Eve said. Listen, I see it, I love the taste of it, I love it, I want it. The same thing. Here it is, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. It belongs to the world system. The world system has taken over. When did they take over? When Adam and Eve sinned. Cain came along, Abel, Cain. Cain, are you going to honor God? No. Are you going to build a city? Chapter 4, verse 17. I'm going to build a big city and have a big people. And that's where Genesis 6, where all the humans come from. They're all going to be there. Are they going to honor God? No. Genesis 6, 5. They did evil continually. They aren't going to honor God. So the world system, they've taken over. Culture, the music, all of that, as you read in chapter 4, etc. And they've taken over. So the world system has grabbed on to all of it and understandably has taken it godless. They leave God out. They leave God out of science and math and everything, the wonderful truths of the laws of science and nature and all of that. They leave it out. They have no place for it. So therefore, we don't want to love the world. The world system has taken over that which God meant, and they've captured it. So the people are caught what? We're caught up loving the world. We can't go without food. We can't go without clothing. We can't go without a roof over our head. We've got to fit into the system, culture, wherever we live. That's what we have to do, don't we? Sure we do. That's from the world. We're caught. We're caught in it. Don't love it. Don't love it. That's who? For the believers. Well, how are they not going to love it? They're caught in it. That's a necessity. That's where the cares of this world, we looked at all of that. Now, so in the light of that, the great solution to help us understand, it will be the constant solution, verse 17. The world, why don't we want to love the world? Because the world system passes away. It's all going to disappear. And the lust, you need this and you need that, and you need this and you need that. All of that lust is going to disappear. It's going to be gone. Hang on, it'll come out. All of it's going to be gone. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, I understand God a little bit. God says the world system's caught. You don't want to get caught in the thorns and the thistles are going to come and surround, because you're caught up in that. It's your nature. It's your humanity. Over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And in 1 Corinthians in chapter 7, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 26. And remember, a great portion, half or a third, of the Roman Empire were slaves. Slaves, that's what they were. And verse 26. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man to be so to be, and that it's going to tell us, it has been telling us. In other words, the present distress, we're looking for the Lord's coming. We're looking for the Lord to be coming. We're looking. And so that's what they were looking for. They were going to exit. Exodus, they're going to exit. So in the process, they're looking. So to get caught up in the world system, you don't want to do that, which we just read in 1 John chapter 2. Now, so therefore, art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. In other words, don't get tied up when what you don't have to. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. In other words, I understand the things that you have to have and do. Having said that, verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. At this present distress, we have no idea the Lord could come. It remaineth that both they that have wives, as though they have had none, have none. And, verse 30, and they that weep as though they wept not, as if they didn't weep. And they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, as those that rejoice not. And they that buy as though they possess not. In other words, they don't purchase and have to have and hold something. Don't do that. That's all of these don'ts. Don't weep. Don't rejoice. Don't possess. What are you saying? Because it's all passing away. It's all temporal. Everything, your body is temporal. Everything is temporal. It's only God's going to create a new heavens and a new earth. It's all temporal, God said. So don't get tied up in weeping and rejoicing as if it's going to pass away. Pick it up. Watch it. In verse 231, they that use, and that means to use for a purpose, to make use of something, to use something to the full, to get over using it, to use something. You have to use your oven to cook. You have to use your car to drive, etc. Verse 31, and they that use this world, which we have to, as not abusing, over abusing to the full. In other words, you're making it necessary, weeping and rejoicing and having and marrying and all of that is going to disappear. It's not going to be here anymore. It's only for a moment. The body we live in is only for a moment. Therefore, don't get so caught up in the world system. Back to 1 John, don't love the world. Don't love the world. Don't get caught up in it. Because what's going to happen is it's all going to disappear. And you need to understand that the fashion of this world is only for a moment. What you see, what you feel, it's changing. And it can't stay. It isn't going to stay. It's condemned. Now, verse 31. And they that use this world as not abusing. For, and the reason, consistent reason, for the fashion of this world is what? Passing away. It isn't going to be. Everything you think is so important, it isn't so important. And God says, do you understand that? The present distress, God's taking you out. And it's a wonderful thing that you're going to be taken out and up. And God's taking you and delivering from this, Galatians 1:4, from this present evil world, delivering us from it. So don't you understand that? Don't get caught up in this. You have to do it. You have to have it. But don't be caught up in it. You're caught up in, you got to do this, I got to have that. And we do the best we can to have and everything. And we're to enjoy it. Hang on. But don't love it. Don't love the system. Don't love it. Don't do it. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in front of us, if I can, love not the world. So we need to be thankful. And because the deceitfulness of riches is going to be the problem. So riches, all the adjective and the noun and the adverb and all of it. Riches, wealth, abundance, except those words. Wealthy, rich, abundance, having, making rich, having, being rich. That's the word, wealthy. Riches, that's the riches of the world system. All of the things we need to have and want and possess, all of those wonderful things are there. Now, so we won't want to get the deceitfulness of riches. What is the word deceitful? The word deceitful is to bring or to seduce into error, to lead away from the right path, to get sidetracked, to be misled, to be deceived, doing something, thinking something, having something, getting caught up by wealth and riches and abundance, caught up in it, trying to get it and have it and get it and understandably understand. But don't love it. Don't love it. Leave it alone. Use it, have it, don't love it. Don't let it catch you. Because thorns and thistles, the deceitfulness of riches, like thorns and thistles, are going to come and stick over you like this. No. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, and over to do that, let me do it, riches, to see it, all kinds of ways, but for time's sake, go with me over and just take a little trip into the future. You want to know what the future is. And I want to, you and I want to know, what's our future on planet Earth? Well, things aren't seem to be going, they don't be seem to be going very good. Between China and Russia and Afghanistan and North Korea and America and politics and everything else, socialism, communism, Marxism, the Great Reset, all of the pile, all of it's going on. All of it's going on! I just mentioned a handful. Do you know what I just said to myself? I said, wow, so much is going on. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so what are we going to do? We aren't going to be able to go and the future, back to the morning message and hope. Boy, I just don't see. I just don't see, and the world isn't seeing, and it isn't happening. And Jeanette just told me she's there with it, getting better and stuff, but in the process, she said in the news, remember they said 5 days, 5 days, and now they're thinking of maybe not 5 days, maybe 25 days. I'm just kidding. they're rethinking that, understand, because it's so bad. What is sickness? It's all over the place. Colds, flus and everything. Now, so in the process of all of that, what's the future in the light of the deceitfulness of riches, which is robbing the human heart and mind of God's wonderful word, his saving grace? Hang on. Now, over if you would please, to Revelation. And in Revelation and chapter 3, we're looking now at the end of the church age. We're looking, that's where we are. We're at Laodicea. And you will notice, when you remember Laodicea, chapter 3, and verse 17. Chapter 3, verse 15, Laodicea. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot, but you're neither. So because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth like vomit. Now, the problem, verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich, that's the same, thou sayest, I am rich, that's the adjective. And now, this is the same package, the same word. Now the verb. And increased with goods, three words. Rich and increased with goods, same. Riches, wealth, increased with goods. That's what we are. Increased with goods. Wow. We're rich. We don't need anything. We don't need God. We don't need his word. We don't really need to understand God. We don't need to submit to God. We don't need to be humbled before him in the right manner. We don't need that of this. And we fit in. We'll fit into the system, whatever it is. How are we going to fit into the system? Well, we're rich. We have a magical everything and whatever we need to have to make the churches function. Now, Revelation chapter 13. And in Revelation chapter 13, the tribulation's going to go where? Where is it headed? Well, in the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist arises to his height and power. And in the process, and now remember, when you begin the tribulation, the church is taken up, and then you have the four horsemen, black horsemen, the black horse, famine, war, famine, shortages of food and everything, shortages. That doesn't make us comfortable, having all the shortages and water and all that different things. That's going to happen. In the middle of God, what happens? Well, chapter 13, picking up, please, directly in verse 16. And the false prophet and the temple and all of that. Verse 16. And he causes all, both small and great, rich, there you are, rich, and the poor. Will it make any difference? The rich people, the poor people, the capitalists, the bad guys, the good guys. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads, and that no man might be able to buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So it's going to get tougher and then tougher, and it won't make any difference. And the system's going to prosper and do what it does by this system, chapter 17, or chapter 18, better. And chapter 18, picking up, please, in verse 17. And 1 hour, this is the Babylon. God's going to judge Babylon, Revelation 17 and 18. God's going to judge them. For in 1 hour, so great riches, there's your little word, is come to naught. Don't get deceived by the deceitfulness of riches to capture your heart like thorns and thistles and capture you. For in 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught, to nothing, and every shipmaster and all the company of ships and sailors and so many as trade by the sea stood afar off. I think of the ships out in the harbor, California or that, hundreds of ships, whatever, can't unload. Wow. Anyway, you got the idea. God, it's all going to go. Don't fall and get trapped by loving the world. Don't be deceived by the deceitfulness of riches to come and seduce, to capture your mind, to get caught up in this thing. Don't love the world. Don't get caught up in it. The fashion of this world, it's all going to disappear. It's all going to go away. So don't do it. But my pain, my heartache, it's all going to disappear. Don't latch onto it as if it's you've got to solve it. No, you need to live with it, handle it, as we've been sharing, as best you can, in the light of everything. But don't get into where it's critical. Nothing's critical. Your marriage isn't critical. Nothing's critical. God's critical. Your relationship to God is critical. All the rest is going to disappear. So now, keep that in mind. So, having said that little bit, over if I can, to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 12. In the Gospel of Luke and in chapter 12, picking up, please. We'll go to verse 16, you'll pick it up. God gives all kinds of illustrations so that we know. Chapter 12, verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man, there's a little word, riches, rich, deceitfulness of riches, a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And so he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But, verse 20, God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So, verse 21, is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich to God, towards God. You didn't get rich. You're very poor. You caught up with the seed came in, the truth came in, the wonderful riches came in, but they were squashed. It couldn't be fruitful. The deceitfulness of riches, having to succeed in this life. Don't let that overwhelm you. Don't do it. Learn to, anyway, trust God. Walk by faith. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, over to chapter 18. And in chapter 18, remember now, here's this rich man, riches, and here's the man, again, illustration. And when I heard these things, because we hear Buffett and Gates and all the different people that are billionaires. I don't know what a billionaire is like, but a billion. We don't talk about thousands anymore. Millions are sort of meh. But you got to talk of quadrillions and zillions and trillions, etc. Now, so, at chapter 18, verse 22. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he is this rich man, he said unto him, Not yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Because I have no place to lay my head, said the Lord, but you are going to be one safe rascal if you trust me. If Israel will trust God, like we did this morning, Israel is one super-duper people, and you couldn't touch them. There's no problem mentally, physically, financially, provision-wise. They would have had everything, no matter how you cut the cookie for the world, they would have it. Now, but, so here's this rich man, and verse 23, and when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. That's the trouble. He has all of this. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches, a little word, enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier, verse 25, for a camel to go through the needle's eye, a sewing needle, so you can see the awesomeness of that, than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, Who then can be saved? And he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. So it's impossible. The rich man got caught. They're caught. Not many rich people, noble, are saved, like in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, over, if you would, in the light of that, over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy and chapter 6. So we're looking at riches, and you get caught up in them, and you know, fashion of this world is going to disappear, so don't make any big deal about anything. Weeping, sorrow, heavy, whatever, don't make a big deal about it. Don't do it. It's all going to disappear, and you don't want to hang on to it that tight. Chapter 6. Because you have a Heavenly Father that cares. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare and into many foolish and hurtful lust, which drown men in destruction and perdition. They get them all caught up in systems and everything. And I'm going to, I used it a while back, but just Nelson Blount, the owner, founder of Ocean Spray Cranberry Sauce, remember I shared it with you. And in the process of that, he shared with me once when we were having lunch or something. And in the process, he said, I used to, when I had all this money and this position, and I used to go to the clubs, the special clubs. You had to have so much, and you qualified to be part of the group, etc. And he said, now that I know the Lord is my Savior, I see how phony that all was, how foolish. And I don't do that anymore. I don't do that anymore. I saw how stupid that was. He didn't say that word. Now, so therefore, it's harmful. Harmful, you get caught up. You get caught up. What happens if, no, I won't even say that one. What happens if you inherit $7 zillion? You know, you only can eat so many hamburgers. What can I tell you? And everything. And people's lives change, understandably. Now, so here we go and look, if we can, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. But you now want to slide over in the light of what it says in verse 9, that the riches are going to catch us. But, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches that are going to pass away. The fashion of the world is all going to pass away, everything. Trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us freely all things to enjoy. And that's what we started with in Genesis chapter 1 and in Genesis chapter 9. God gave it to us to enjoy it. But don't get caught up. You ought to enjoy the pizza if you can enjoy a pizza. If you can enjoy a golden pizza, that's fine. You go buy a golden pizza, and if you eat the pizza, that's fine. And you can't eat the gold. And you do all that. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Whatever you can do, you do. One person can go eat at McDonald's someplace like that. And someplace has to go to the other place where they pay $100 for a hamburger. I mean, so what can I tell you? The $100 is nothing to one person. $1 is satisfied the other person. Both had the hamburger. They had it. So therefore, God meant it to be enjoyed. Don't get caught up in it. Don't grab it. Don't let it control your life. Don't love it. Don't love it. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in front of yourself, if I can, over to 2 Corinthians, and in chapter 8. And you would recall 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, truth. Now, we're going to go to the other side of the coin. Don't get caught up in the world. And we titled the message for good or bad, The Untaxable, in be able to enjoy the untaxable. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. It can never be taxed. That God, the world system can never have it. What the believer has is a relationship to God that the unsaved do not have. And the believer's relationship to God, a person, like we shared this morning, to know God and to be knowing God. That's what we're doing. And both knows are there in John, 1 John, John 17. Knowing God now. So God wants us to be able to proceed knowing you. And in the process, the world doesn't know it, doesn't care about it at all. In fact, I'll go to Galatians, turn it around. Hold your finger right here and go over with me to Galatians. And then watch how this comes together. Galatians, and in chapter 6, God's going to answer for us. And if I can, picking up, please, Galatians 6, going directly in the light of it all, being a new creature in Christ, verse 15, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me. The world is crucified. It's all of its pleasures and all of its persecution. The fashion of this world is passing away. So the believing heart says, I'm not going to get all that you're trying to have and love and produce is going to disappear. It can't stay. It's condemned. Going to disappear no matter how you cut the cookie. Therefore, the believing heart looks at the world and sees it crucified, as it were, done. So the pleasures and the pain and the persecutions, and they are not going to get me because I see them on the cross. God, the fashion of this world is passing away. Now, having said that, the second part. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. How does the world see the believer? As a rich person? No. They see him as a dead person. They reject him, Christ, the foolishness of the cross, Christ crucified. You're reckoning yourself dead indeed unto sin. So the world doesn't see. The world doesn't care about riches. They care about what they have and how they have it, and they're caught in it. But the believing heart is free. The world doesn't want anything to do with what's in that book in front of you. They don't want anything to do with it. It can be burned, gone. That's where it is. So you are free. The world is never going to infringe on your privileges in Christ. Do you understand? Watch it. Back over to 2 Corinthians. Let me do it quickly for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you know, verse 9, context. For you know, 8, 9, 2 Corinthians. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Why? That ye through his poverty, might be rich. He became nothing and was crucified by the world in order that to make the world, who was dead in sin, have a life and a wonderful riches. That's what taught riches, a wonderful riches. God made us rich, to a believing heart to be rich. And Romans would tell us, don't despise the riches of the goodness of God. That's how you get saved, Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. That's how you're going to get saved, by that. God's wonderful riches. You're saying Romans, at least then, over to Romans chapter 10. Romans 2, 4, don't despise the goodness of God, at the riches of his goodness. Wow. That's how God saves us in a most wonderful way. Romans in chapter 10, picking up, please, in verse 12. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. So God is going to make us rich by his death, burial, and resurrection. He gives us a wonderful relationship to God. If you had a relationship to Buffett or somebody, you'd had a personal relationship, you'd be have a lot of benefits. You have a personal, think of what we did this morning. You have a personal relationship to God. How rich is God? How rich is your father? Where does he lack? What's missing? Nothing. You're rich. He's rich to everyone that calls upon him. Over if I can, while you're there. Over if I can. Sliding over, chapter 11. And going straightway to verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. God, riches, wonderful. God, you're rich. Aha! Uh-huh. And so when I'm going to make you rich. I died on the cross to make you rich. Rich. Don't get caught up in the system. Where you think of without turning there, don't have time. Matthew chapter 6. Where your treasure is, there what? There's your heart. Don't get caught up in it. Wherever your treasure is, make sure your treasure is in heaven. That's where all of it stays. The rest of it's all going to pass away. All going to disappear. Everything you cherish, your loves, your hates, people, persons, places, all going to disappear. Don't get caught up in it. Now, therefore, oh, the depth of the riches. Wow. Now, if I can put that together, over to Colossians. And we did it this morning. I'm going to mention it again. Chapter 1, verse 27. Remember the mystery that God would have us in new creatures in Christ, part of his body, Christ the head, we're the body. That's an odd, something never understood, even made possible. God has done that. Therefore, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches, there's your word, of the glory of this mystery. Christ died on the cross to make you rich. The riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory, the riches. So when you got saved, don't love the world anymore. You're free. This present evil world, God saved you out of it, from it, even though you're in it. God, what are you going to do? I want you to go and understand the riches of Christ in you. Christ brings to us the riches of God. They're untaxable. The world has no right to any of them. The world can't touch your relationship to Christ. No way. They can't deny it. They can't take it away. They're stuck. Wonderfully stuck. And all the rest of it we have to pay. We pay taxes for what we do. We pay all kinds of burdens and bothers, just having things and being alive on planet Earth. The cares, back to the cares of this world. We got them. But God, don't let the deceitfulness of riches, like thorns, thistles, rob you. Now, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wow. Let's do it another different way. Over to Ephesians. Not far away. And notice with me, please, Ephesians. I'm just going to pick them up a little bit to see you see it. Chapter 2. Ephesians in chapter 2 and in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Don't lose the love of the Father by loving the world. System. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Now, having said that, slide over to verse chapter 1 and verse 7. God loves us in his mercy. Verse 7. In whom we have, I've got to read verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches, there's your word, riches of mercy, riches of grace. Wow. There's no stinginess with God. Overabundance. And the world can't touch it. Your loved ones can't, if they aren't saved, they don't even know. They can't do with it. If you know the Lord as your Savior, you're to personally be enjoying being saved, and you are one rich person. And the world can't bother you in it because they can't touch what you have. Because what you have is in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, like we shared this morning. God is the gift himself. And he himself makes everything happen. That's what, so you can't get everything you got and have in God, in Christ, is God's. And no one can touch him. No, they don't want anything to do with God. Now, it's the world system. Picking up, please, if I can, chapter 2. And what do we know about this grace, the riches of his grace? Verse 7 and verse 6, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And the purpose, verse 7, chapter 2, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding, what's he going to show? The exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God is going to demonstrate forever by way of his church, the believing heart in heaven, seated there now. He's going to show what? How gracious, how rich in his grace and mercy to the believing heart. And all the believers sit there in our world and they look, and what riches? Oh, what riches? But what riches? I understand having wealth and everything, whatever. But hey, what riches? Ah, God said, you have no idea. Hang on. In the light of that, in the light of those riches, would you go with me, please, now, having said that, back over to chapter 1. And in chapter 1, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened so that you could see properly and understand, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches, there's your word, of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And we share that with you. We have to keep saying it to ourselves because we just can't come to grips with it. What is that? That God saves you. It's a super duper thing for him to save you. He saves a piece of dust alive on planet Earth, and he's going to transform it to the image of his son. Riches. We all look at each other in the mirror, and we look at each other, we're just us. That's all we is. Ah, that isn't how God sees. God doesn't see that way. We're going to do that pretty quick here. God doesn't see that way. No, no. He sees something wonderful he has. It doesn't look like much. But God's going to take like this tissue, like the handkerchief was once done, a handkerchief, and the artist took the handkerchief and said, may I borrow your handkerchief? Have it. And the artist took the handkerchief and did a great work of art on the handkerchief. And he took it, just an old handkerchief. Here's an old tissue. But what he did, if you wrote on it, the autograph, if someone autographed it, of some famous person who's ever famous, and they wrote down that they'd be worth $1 million, wow, the autograph on a piece of paper. Wow. God takes a sinner, a piece of dust, and writes his name on it. He gives himself to it. Riches. But I don't see rich. See? Yeah. God sees it. And so God said, don't love the world. Don't get caught up in the fashion of the world. Everything you're caught, all your relationships are going to disappear. So don't make everything so tight. Therefore, if I can, over to chapter 3 of Ephesians. God, what's the prayer? Here's the prayer. The prayers of God are very awesome prayers. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, the riches of his grace, the riches of his glory. Wow. Glory. Unless we think about it, we can't even grasp it, can we? That's how God sees you. He sees you in his grace. His grace, all of God, nothing of us. And it's God's prize. It's a privilege. It's a prize to him. We're an inheritance. Father has given it to God the Son, as it were. Now, having said that, so God, in your grace and in your glory, Now, God, how's that going to happen? Two things. Hold your finger here and go with me over to Philippians. And we can't do it, but at least we'll do a little of it. Philippians, reminding you of the riches. Verse 19, chapter 4. 4, Philippians, verse 19. But my God, shall supply all your need. How so? According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's how. How is he going to do it? He has himself. He himself is the I am that I am. I can do and be everything I need to be to you. My gift is myself. God gives himself to the believing heart. And the believing heart is to enjoy God being a father, taking care, and doing everything you need. I'll take care of all you need, whatever your need is. That doesn't mean everything is nice. No, sometime you need to learn patience. Sometime you need to get tumbled. Sometime you have to go through great sorrow and heartache. God's training us, raising us up to be conformed to the image of his Son so that we can be like that for real. For real. Wow. That's what it's going to be. So God, you're going to do that. Back over to Ephesians in closing. Ephesians, if you would. And in chapter 3, back to chapter 3, Ephesians, and in verse 19. And we know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now God, what about this rich business? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or we could ever think, according to the power, the dynamo that worketh in us. God, you're able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. That's right. I told you, I'm the riches you need. I'm the treasure in heaven you have. I'm your riches. I am. Don't get caught up in the other. You get caught up in that, you'll lose mine. You won't enjoy them. No one can touch the riches I have. No one can touch God. No one can change God. You can't hit God. You can't hurt God. You can grieve him, but you can't get him. And how's the world going to go? Think of Abraham. I got to quit. Think of Abraham. And Abraham, when he was there, and he only had his 317 men, whatever it was, his whole army, and thousands of animals, thousands of animals. And you know what? You never read of anyone robbing him. There were the thieves. There were the thieves, the bad guys. But you never read about them. No. Could God take care? Isaiah chapter 26. God said in the millennium, I'm going to build a wall around. So no one can do anything. What's the wall? My saving grace. My riches of my saving grace. I surround you with him. The peace that passes all understanding will mount God in your heart. No one can touch that. So you don't have to worry about the IRS. You don't have to worry about the burden of having and doing and everything is good and bad and works and doesn't work. And you, things nowadays, as you know them, you get them. And it used to be When I had a 36 Chevrolet 100,000 years ago, I had, that was my first car. My dad gave it to me, and in the, not gave it, whatever, in the process. And in the process of that, and the metal on that thing was thick like this. Remember when you get dents, you just bang them out because of metal. No. So now you just get a new car. You got a problem? You buy a new car. That's all. You got a clock? Fix the clock? We don't fix clocks anymore. We don't fix computers. You got all the chips and everything you got to have? Well, pretty soon they're going to be outdated, and they don't make them anymore. So they don't make them anymore. So buy a new one. Get a new chip. Get a new everything. See? Nothing's going to last. Well, God. God, except you. So therefore, I hope you a little bit. Don't let the riches of this world, don't despise the riches. The riches are going to go and deceive us, to trick us so that we lose out trying to do it. And we forgot how rich we are, how rich you are in Christ right now. And no one can touch it. And God is here to exercise those riches in your life as you trust Him. Our Father and God, we thank You for Thy word, Thy work, Thy word, Thy work, Thy grace, Thy glory. God, help us have an understanding more and more that we would have the benefit. In Christ's name, amen.